Hello, beautiful people. It's Kule Agbayani here for a special edition of After Hours in the Den. And we got a real treat for you. Not only one of the greatest men's volleyball players to represent this state, the Grease Lightning, former UH outside hitter and now an author, Kostas Theokarides. Kostas, thank you so much for taking the time to join us during your stop here back in Hawaii.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show, Kule.
And before we get into the book itself, just tell all of the fans what you've been up to so far ever since you graduated and left the state. But also, you returned for the first time in 20 years just last year, and now you've made quite a few trips back here to Hawaii. But what have you been up to during that 20-year span?
So after I graduated from UH, I entered the world of finance professionally. So I retired from volleyball, and I decided it was time for me to enter the professional arena in the finance world. So I worked for a small money management firm here in Hawaii, in Manoa Valley, for about 4 years, and then I moved to the East Coast. I joined Merrill Lynch in the Boston area. And then during the credit crisis of 2009, I lost my job, and then I had to kind of reevaluate my situation. So I ended up getting my master's degree at the London School of Economics in the UK. Once I was done with that, I came back to the States. Me and my longtime girlfriend, Elena, we were 5 years together at that time. We decided to get married. So we moved to Washington, D.C. for a few months, and then I landed a finance gig in Manhattan, New York City. We stayed there for about 5 years, and eventually we decided to come back to the Boston area because she's from there. And, you know, we had two kids at the time. Now we have three. And it felt like it was the right time for us to have the kids spend quality time with the grandparents, being in the final chapter of their lives. And, you know, Boston is, I don't know if you guys have been there. It's a very... It's a great environment to raise a family, and it's very balanced. Having experienced the Hawaiian Isles, where things are a little bit more, you know, island lifestyle, and then to the other extreme of the spectrum, you have New York City, which is, you know, the great jungle with the daily rat race to survive. We just couldn't see our lives there, raising a family and having teenage daughters in that environment. So Boston has been great to us. We are there for good. But interestingly enough, since the UH program has started tapping into the Greek pipeline with Dimitris Mouhias and Spiros Hagas, I was kind of pulled out of my cave after all those years because I was completely disconnected from the UH program. And then seeing those guys winning back-to-back national titles and encouraging me to come back and watch them play and reconnect with the program. It was one of those experiences that it's very hard to describe after what happened with the NCAA and the controversial decision to strip the championship. It started a process of catharsis for me, and towards the later stages of that cleansing process, and it felt like the book was part of that. The last step in my process would be to somehow convince people that getting the 2002 championship team honored and respected and immortalized in the circle of honor, that would complete the journey that I embarked upon last year.
Yeah, and I want to remind everybody about that moment to those that are maybe newer volleyball fans like our Paul Brecht over here and some people like myself who were in high school when that happened. And just for fans in general, as we are joined by Kostas Theokarides, who is part of the 2002 national championship winning team, beat Pepperdine in four sets to win UH's first ever men's national title. However, an athlete on a rival college team filed an official complaint with the NCAA questioning your eligibility, accused of being a member of a professional team in Greece before enrolling at the University of Hawaii. And the NCAA does typical NCAA things and made the controversial decision to strip UH of the championship win as well as delete the record of the team's performance in the championship. So I guess in multiple parts, breaking this down, because it does, you know, lead into what is in your book as well. Talk to us maybe, and I know it can be difficult to relive that particular moment in your life, but just so a lot of the fans maybe have an understanding of what you, first of all, maybe your initial reaction when you even heard there was going to be such a complaint filed. What is your side of the story in terms of this complaint? And what was the process of having to deal with the aftermath of such a controversial decision?
So I never kept the secret. It was out in the public. Everybody knew that I was part of a professional team in the Greek League. And I had an opportunity to play against Mike Lambert, who was the captain of the U.S. national teams. Mike Lambert was an alum at Punahou in Stanford. And then, you know, he was in the U.S. national team. And then, you know, he was playing professionally in Greece. So we ended up playing against each other. That was the time I was actually looking to make the leap of faith to, you know, trying to have a college give me an athletic scholarship to come to the United States to study and play. And I wasn't having success landing the coveted athletic scholarship. And I spoke to Mike after the game. I had a really good match. And he was impressed with what he saw on the court. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to talk to Coach Wilton, who was the head coach for the UH men's volleyball program back then. And my jaw dropped. I was like, you can do this for me? I was like, wow, that's great. So that's what started the process. And then coming to the States, you know, the papers covered my background, the past, that I was part of the professional team. But I was, you know, I never signed a contract, professional contract, because typically the way it works is, especially in Europe, start off at a very early age and you enter a volleyball academy. And then over time, as you show off your skills and you get better, you kind of work your way up to the men's team. And those teams are playing in a professional league. Mm-hmm. Now, what separates professionals from amateurs is the professionals, you know, you sign a contract. And then essentially what happens is you are committing yourself to the team. And then in return, you get compensated for providing your service to the team for a specific period of time. It can be 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. It depends. Now, as an amateur, you're not, if you don't have a contract, you're not really allowed to get compensated. So what you do is you just train with the team. And to the extent they need you to play, you do that. But you don't have an agent. You don't have compensation. You don't have a professional contract. So when it came down to me signing a professional contract, I opted out and I said, no, I want to go to the U.S. and play. I wanted to be a student athlete. And, you know, the NCAA, you know, has the rules. The way they interpret the rules is, you know, they were very vague, mm-hmm. right? They don't necessarily capture how things are being done internationally outside the United States. But again, it wasn't something that I held back. It wasn't something that wasn't forthcoming. It was out in the public. It was on the UH Athletics website. It was, you know, Star Bulletin and the Honolulu Advertiser wrote about it back then. So it was a surprise to a lot of people that NCAA would pursue something like this. And, you know, and that essentially happened after my eligibility was done. So for them to make the decision to go back, you know, and I understand their perspective. They never had dealt with something like that before, the NCAA. So maybe they were trying to figure out a punishment that fit the crimes to deter other, you know, players from doing so. But there wasn't really any wrongdoing. There was mm-hmm. nothing malicious in that respect. So I thought that the punishment itself, it was unreasonable. It just didn't make any sense. And I think talking to people 20 years later, everybody's on the same page with me. I don't think anybody is harboring any negative feelings about what happened in terms of, you know, me doing something to hurt the program. If anything, I think it reinforced the concept because that rule eventually was dropped as well. I came to find out that it just didn't make any sense. But you know what? The reason why I wrote the book, you know, I did contribute my opinion, obviously, because I didn't have the chance to do that. I didn't want to inflame the situation. And even speaking about it now, I don't want to open any old wounds. I think we just, I grew a scar and I just moved on, right? Mm-hmm. Now, deep inside, subconsciously, I never had that closure. So I think what happened in the past year or so, I've been craving to get there to that point where I can finally free myself from that huge weight that's been sitting on my chest all those years. And the Hawaiian people have allowed me to do that by giving me a second chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, being forgiving and being showing their class and who they truly are. And I'm just immensely proud to be part of this community and to have my name remembered after all those years. It's something that I don't know if you'll be able to experience anywhere else in the world. Hawaii is truly a very special place. And I would like for my kids, as they're getting older, for me to bring them back here and kind of introduce them to the local community. Because I'll tell you, if I was to do one of those DNA tests, 23andMe or whatnot, I think I would definitely find out I have some Hawaiian blood in me. It's just such an amazing place. And, you know, after all those years, I finally had a chance to bring my folks out here as well, because I want them to experience what Hawaii is all about. You know, walking into the Stan Sheriff Center with the crowd and the team playing. It's one of those things you cannot describe. You have to be there to experience that. It doesn't matter how many times you watch it on TV. You know, they walked into the stadium yesterday while the team was practicing, and they were in awe of the stadium, and it was empty, right? So you add the 10,000 fans, and it's one of those things that you add to your life's highlight reel, literally. I want them to experience that. So it's really good to be back.
And going back to what you said, like being born and raised here, grew up with a family like most families here that love and cherish volleyball 100%, especially when more information came out. Like nobody ever looked at you in a way that was, oh, he cost us all of this. I think we just looked at it as, oh man, it's just something that happened in life that was unfair and you should know. And as you'd realize, like you're always welcome to come back here. And if there are any fans that hold ill will, then they're probably not the usual fans, which we've experienced among other sports as well. So 100%, you're always going to be one of us and welcomed here. And as someone who is part Hawaiian, I will just dub thee an honorary Hawaiian for this. You're by association right now. You are in the studio feeling the mana. So you are honorary Hawaiian.
Thank you.
And we were talking about your book and then also you kind of coming back to being one with the volleyball program again because of your fellow countrymen,
right?
Be it Demetrius Mouklias and Spyros Hakas. And we just talked about how you went through a tough moment in your career or at the end of your career. What went through your mind this year seeing what your fellow countrymen in Spyros went through with the season-ending injury? And were you able to maybe talk to him a little bit? And if you could potentially share with us what you may have said.
So the way I communicated with Spyros was through a post that I on Instagram and share my thoughts. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see that, but it's out there for the public to see. And that was my way to kind of share what was going through my mind. I didn't want to reach out directly to him because I never been in his shoes. Obviously, what happened it was devastating. You know, here is a young man with tremendous potential, the leadership qualities, on his way to, you know, he was making a serious case for a National Player of the Year. The team at the time, I think they had a really good chance of, you know, maybe getting another title. And it was literally the glue that came to keep the team together. So when I booked the trip to come and see Spear and the team, in my mind, and I was fully transparent with that, it was about having my dad watch me play in Spyros' body for those years. because that kid reminded me of me. And my dad never had a chance to come and see me in the arena when I was playing. So, pardon my emotion. So that was, I felt it would be an incredible opportunity having the Greek element of the team, having a leader like Spiros, and being there to support him, and also having my dad cheer for him on the court while leading the team to another Final Four. It was a fairy tale. Unfortunately, the unseen power above works in mysterious ways, and it didn't work like that. But I feel for Spiros. I can only imagine what he's going through. We went out for lunch yesterday, and I had a chance to introduce him to my parents. And it's tough to see that young man being sidelined. I can only imagine what is going through their coaches' minds and, you know, their teammates. They worked very hard all those years to build that chemistry and trust and gel as a team. It was no accident that this team had gone to four straight national championships, winning back-to-back national titles. They came very close to a three-peat last year. And for him to suffer a season-ending injury, the disruption that the team suffered through, it cannot be taken lightly. You know, you can see the void that has been left behind by Spiros being out. And, you know, you can see the play in the team. It's been very inconsistent since then. So the talent is there. There's depth. There's six seniors on the team. And there's people that in the starting lineup that have played in the national title games. So the championship mindset is there. It's just them figuring out a way to play the best that they can play as a team and be able to be successful in the playoffs. And I know Spiros is going to be there by their side, supporting them through this very tough journey ahead.
Yeah, and that brings us full circle now. Full circle moment to your book, and it kind of describes exactly the subheading, which is Thriving Within Chaos, but the official title, Kostas, Warrior for Life, and then the Thriving Within Chaos. So tell us a little bit about what inspired you to think, hey, maybe I should write this book and share everything that I've been through and hopefully inspire many people, not only, you know, in your country, not only in this country, but all around the world. And give us a little bit of an idea of what fans can expect when they read this book.
Sure. So, you know, I struggled a little bit with the title. So I was trying to figure out something that would be a healthy reflection of who I am. And I came up with the title Warrior for Life because it has a double meaning to it. Obviously, you have the UH Rainbow Warriors. So Warrior for Life essentially implies that you're part of the brotherhood. You're a warrior for life. And then warriors, we're all warriors every day, fathers, husbands, trying to battle through the storms and the setbacks and the failures and trying to make it to the other end where you see the rainbow, right? Getting across that bridge of discomfort and pain and struggle and being successful. So that's the reason why I came up with the title. It has that double meaning. What triggered that book? I wanted to leave something tangible behind for my daughters. So I have three girls, 10, 9, and 4. And they're living through some prosperous times right now, you know, and I wanted to memorialize some of the things that me and my wife have gone through individually and also as a couple, that there were not always prosperous times, that, you know, hard times preceded where we are now, that we fought very hard. We fought a lot of battles to get to this point. And I was trying to help them understand and better what preceded where we are today and fully appreciate the history and gain a better perspective. The second thing was about being a source of inspiration for people. I want them to make them want to fly into the unknown, to reach for the stars. And I'm trying to get that, you know, you get through to them through the different stories that I have in the book. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of failures. There's going to be a lot of pain and struggle to get there. And you're never going to be finished. You're always going to be finding new goals and new targets and everything. But the whole point of this journey of life is to keep going, right? And never throw in the towel. And the third thing was to immortalize what the 2002 championship team has done. I know that the younger generations are more in tune with what's happening now, but 20 years ago, I believe that, you know, my teammates, my coaches were able to contribute significantly to that solid foundation that the UH Men's Volleyball Program keeps building upon, right? And I think it's something that I felt the need to do. And, you know, when everybody's gone from this earth, the majority of us will be forgotten. But I feel that that team should be remembered forever. It should be part of eternity. And I can sing. I can dance. I don't have a podcast. So for me, writing, I'm passionate about writing. So to reach out to a critical mass, I had to figure out how to do that, and it's through social media and writing a book. So the book was written with Hawaiian audience in mind. So somebody from the mainland that is not necessarily familiar with the UH Men's Volleyball Program and its history may not necessarily recognize some of the characters in the book and understand the stories or, you know, the whole NCAA controversy. So I took a risk that, you know, it's Hawaii specific. So I am relying on Ukule and Paul and everybody else out there to spread the word. I'm doing the best I can to get the word out there. A lot of the older generations are not necessarily using social media. So we're looking at print media, we're looking at radio, TV, to kind of get the word out there. It's a high quality product. I do encourage people to get a copy on Amazon. It's in paperback at the moment. And read the book, post a review, and because I don't have the marketing muscle of a traditional publisher. It's self-published. I wrote the book, and so I wrote the draft manuscript in 60 days. And I turned it over to my wife that has a writing background. And I told her, go ahead and tear it apart. And she did just that. So she gave me a lot of valuable feedback, which I incorporated. And I rewrote certain sections of the book. And I read it out loud to myself, and I start releasing some excerpts just to kind of get the reaction of the crowd on Instagram. And I was just blown away by the feedback that I got from my followers. And it felt it was the right time for me to wrap up that effort and just release it to the public. And it's that book is a healthy reflection of who I am. And I'm fully transparent. I'm very authentic. I'm very vulnerable. You know, I think a lot of people don't want to go down the path of exposing themselves to the public. And you know what? I turned that on its head. And I was like, I got really enthusiastic about sharing a lifetime of observations on and off the court with the people here in Hawaii. Trying to be a positive role model to the younger leaders and the younger athletes, as well as adults that they may be going through an identity crisis and they're trying to figure things out. So, you know, I did the best that I could. But if they, you know, it can die a very slow death and disappear into obscurity unless we get the word out. So I really appreciate you guys inviting me on your show today. And, you know, contributing to that effort.
Yeah, we're definitely going to keep getting the word out. And as you mentioned, you know, something that would make it come full circle is if that 2002 championship can hopefully be reinstated or the banner at the very least gets hung back. I've been an advocate and shouting from the rooftops that at the very least we should just hang the banner up. Like, that's who's not against the rules. Who's going to stop us? Because volleyball is a big deal here in Hawaii. And funny enough, and Paul was here in studio, we had the current athletics director in studio on this show, and we brought up that championship to him. And shout out to actually a user on Twitter that sent in a question to ask athletics director Craig Angeles. And we asked him, or made him even aware of the situation that happened. And he's taken it very seriously. So from what I've been told, there has been efforts of something being done. Again, you don't know what the NCAA is even going to decide, right. But I believe there's something hopefully that's going to happen and manifest itself, because there is no reason that that should have even gotten stripped, you know. And I'm usually, and Paul is kind of the same way too. With constant rule changes in the NCAA, I understand like not backdating certain rules that change. But in this situation, it was like not even against the rules back then, and the rule changed. So there seems to be no reason why it wouldn't be reinstated. But I can tell you that, Costas, that there is at least something. There are people that have heard it and want to make this something happen when it comes to that 2002 national championship.
Well, hopefully those efforts will bear some fruit. When Kanoa Leahy invited him over his show last year, he didn't mention about a reunion with the team. And I didn't have a chance to reconnect with everybody. And obviously people have families, and it can be a financial issue for everybody to travel to Hawaii. Everybody has different circumstances. So it would make sense, to the extent there is an induction to the Circle of Honor, for everybody to get together. I think that would be the occasion where people will set aside maybe certain doubts or concerns they may have about making such a long trip with their family. And, you know, hopefully this is something that will have a very happy ending. Let's see. You know, I'm doing everything I can in my power, you know, from running a marathon here in Honolulu in December to writing a book. I don't know what's next, but I'll tell you what I'm finding through this journey of mine is my kids have inspired me to have a growth mindset. And at the same time, it's a virtuous cycle where I'm also trying to model behavior in them that you should always have a growth mindset, even when you're 44 years old, that I am right now. And what I've realized about myself is going through this journey the past year is that I do like to go up against very hard things. It's terrifying. It's scary. There's no question about it. You're never gonna be able to be fearless. There is no such thing as fearlessness. Everybody has fear in their hearts, but it's about tackling it, and it's about figuring out a way to still keep moving forward. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the key messages in the book, that it's okay to face the hardships and the struggles and the pain, but just doing the hard things every single day and being uncomfortable, you know, eventually you're gonna get to where you need to be. You just have to keep your head down and keep plodding through. There is always hope. There is always gonna be inspiration around us. I have people in my life that they provide tremendous inspiration, and it's not the celebrities, and it's not the people that are well known worldwide. It's the people in your inner circle, you know, the simplest people that people don't know about, and yet they give you that incentive to keep working hard, keep developing as a human being, and trying to become the best version of yourself.
I love it. I mean, that's already inspiration for us all, and you guys should go out and get the book. On a couple of final notes, though, I do want to still, you know, give you the reassurance that we will continue to push all of the book, but not only the book, but just men's volleyball in general. And I want to bring Mr. Paul Brecht in here real quick, just to tell your side of the story briefly for Costas here, just how much volleyball, a sport that you really didn't follow at all before moving out to Hawaii a couple of years ago. But how much are you very much in tune with volleyball now being in Hawaii, and how different of the fan base, how different are fans here compared to where you're from on the East Coast?
I feel like I'm echoing you in a little bit, but there really is no place quite like Hawaii. In a lot of ways, Koo's right. I wasn't necessarily a volleyball fan, not because I didn't like the sport, but the energy just was never there for me when I was growing up. And then coming out here from high school games, you'd see matches, and then I got an opportunity to go to a UH men's volleyball game, and you talk about the 10,000 fans that are in there and the standing. You hear the slow clap for Aloha Ball, for any set point, and you almost get chills out there. And it's funny because it got to the point where this is a small team. You talk about, you know, doing the most with the resources that you have. For a while, it was just Kule and I, and then we finally added a third member to our full-time staff in our Michael Lascaro. And I'll say I joked, but it wasn't a real joke, to be honest, where I was worried Ku was going to send Michael to cover the Big West, like a Big West volleyball match, and I was going to be assigned to something else. And it was just funny because, I mean, even 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, before I moved out to Hawaii, I would have never expected that. But it's such an incredibly fun sport, both men's and women's. But out here, you see the passion for it, and it makes it so much easier to get into it. And it's been cool to see the sport continue to grow. And you mentioned it before, there's that foundation that needs to be remembered first. And I'm a big believer in the fact that, you know, to get here, we have to appreciate the ones that came before it to get us to this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Welcome to the Brotherhood, Paul. Yeah, I mean, it started in the 80s, you know, during the Clam Gym days with Alan Allen, and then with Yuval Katz in the 90s and the opening of the Stan Sheriff Center. And then in the 2000s, with what we did with the team, and, you know, in the next decade with Jakob and all the other studs. It's been an incredible journey, and Hawaii is, you know, people talk about the aloha spirit and being part of an ohana, and I'll tell you, when you're in your 20s and you're as green as I was, I don't think you fully appreciate what Hawaii is all about. And as you kind of work your way through the maturity process as a human being, 20 years later, I'll tell you, the spiritual connection that I have with Hawaii, you know, it transcends my wildest imagination. Like, I've never felt the way that I feel coming to the islands. And I'll tell you what, it's one thing you lived in Hawaii your whole life, and it's different when you leave Hawaii and then you get to experience other cool places in the world. You know, I spent time in London during grad school, in Athens, Greece, with the national team, and then Washington, D.C., in New York City, in Boston. And having the chance to experience those amazing cities, my heart comes back to Hawaii after all those years. And it's such a special place. And I would love for my kids to get to experience this culture as well. We're not going to necessarily move out here, right? Boston is the place for us. But, you know, it's interesting because I'm originally from Greece, and I spent a significant amount of time of my life during my formative years here in Hawaii. And now, you know, I'm in Boston. So we're basically covering half the globe, if you think about it, because Greece is right in the middle of the globe, right? Hawaii is on the far left. And then you have Boston, which is right in between Greece and Hawaii. And it's just an amazing thing. Like, you're telling stories to yourself to make sense of your life. And I think part of it was, you know, I came up with this story, like revisiting the past and start connecting the dots. And I'm like, there is a compelling story here. And it's not about comparing yourself to other people's stories. Everybody has their own circumstances. It's not my story is better than your story or whatever. It's about, this is my story. It's a unique story. And I want to get it out there. I want to be a healthy source of inspiration to people, and help them achieve their potential, you know, based on their capabilities. I think there's something to be said about being a warrior every day. And I think everybody has that warrior spirit. You know, I think some people are more in tune with it and some people may not necessarily, but it's within us. And I think we underestimate the power that we have as human beings. We are so powerful, but we just do not understand. We don't realize that. And we're so resilient. And having gone through the journey that I have gone through, and I don't wish anybody to go through that. I went through some very hard times. And, you know, people can get the book and they can fully understand what I went through. It was really rough. But finally, I can see some light at the end of the tunnel. That I think I'm on the right path. And I think that book is helping me get there to the end of the tunnel.
And that's what we're hoping for you. And I don't want to take up too much of your time, but appreciate you for coming and stopping by the den. Paul, you have any last question for Kostas?
Yeah. When are you coming back to the den? we'll have to get you back in there. We really appreciate your time because I know I'm looking forward to reading this book. I hope everybody else who gets a chance to buy it and support enjoys it as well, because like you said, a really important story that deserves to be memorialized.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Willie. I appreciate your time, guys.